My topic this morning is, Are You Somebody? Ambition is a good thing. Without it, we'd still be living in caves and wearing animal skins. Imagine that. That desire to do better and be better pushes us to even bigger and better things. Ambition fosters growth and development and brings changes to our world. Where would we be without some people's ambition? Friendly competition and the desire to make a better life, especially for our children, has changed the world unbelievably. Today, if you can imagine it, it can happen. In most instances, this is a good thing. But there are ones among us who imagine bad things and make them happen. The one thing that saves us as Christians is the promise of a better life to come. But we have to work at that also. That is not given to us so freely that we don't have to work at it. There are those people whose ambition is to be the best at something, but they don't want to work for it. We've seen those kinds of people. They talk a good game, but expend more energy getting out of work than they would if they just applied themselves to their goals. They expect even better rewards than those who actually did the work. We recognize those people who have to be somebody, and God does too. He realizes that, and He recognizes that in people. Then there are those whose ambition leads them to get ahead by putting others down, then stepping on them to get a boost up. If a person is constantly criticizing those around him and putting them down to make himself look better, then he eventually appears as much a loser as he portrays his supposed friends. He would surround himself with losers so that he could walk on them and step up on them. There are also those who are always right and always have all the answers. The scripture we just read tells us that we must not be conceited, developing rivalries, fostering jealousy. If these are the ways we have to be somebody, then we are nobody, and truly that in God's eyes. The scripture before this one in Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia reads, and I'll read from it now. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, most of us are not guilty of most of these things that I just read about, such as sorcery and murders. But there are other faults in Paul's list that just might have slipped into our lives. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, angry outbursts, selfish ambitions, dissensions, envy, they're all seemingly small things which might escape our self-examination. You can read these chapters and say, I never murdered anybody. I never practice sorcery. I'm not a member of a coven, and I don't practice black magic, and I'm not a witch or a warlock. However, it does tell us something that Paul lists these sins along with murder and adultery and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery. Does that tell us something? These also are sins that we have to consider. In fact, it lists some of these things even before murder and drunkenness. That in itself should tell us something. The little things add up. The little things are things that we have to watch and have to consider in ourselves. Paul could not understand how any man would deliberately risk his salvation by basing it on his own works rather than the gracious mercy of Christ. Christ saves us. We do not save ourselves. Those who sin through jealousy or selfish ambitions or pride or outbursts of anger or dissensions or just being contentious and hard to live with will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says so, and I just read it from the Bible. Saul of Tarsus thought he was somebody. He even went to the temple to be deputized so that he could arrest anyone he found who professed to be a follower of this blasphemer, Jesus Christ. He led the first persecution of the church, beating and imprisoning men and women, and putting many to death. He wanted to stomp out that blasphemy. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He wanted the laws of Moses to rule men's lives. He did not want any part of this blasphemy that this Jesus Christ was bringing into his country. Then on the road to Damascus, when the lightning flashed and the voice spoke from heaven, Saul fell to the ground and got up blind. 3 days of blindness made Saul of Tarsus realize that maybe he wasn't somebody after all. Then he became Paul. Jesus had several times to contend with jealousy and pride among his disciples. They argued over who would sit on his right and who would sit on his left. They questioned him about his association with prostitutes and tax collectors. And I don't think this week any of us really like tax collectors a whole lot. They tried to keep the children away from him because he had important things to do. He was forever trying to teach them to be humble and be contrite. He kept telling them to help one another rather than being critical and contentious. They were critical and contentious with the people who would not listen to Jesus' message and would not listen to what their Savior had to say. And he told them something that our mothers learned very well and passed on to us many times, at least mine did. You reap what you sow. How many times have you heard that in your life? I'm sure my mother wasn't the only one. Jesus was telling us that how we live on this earth will determine where we spend eternity. Can you afford to be contentious and argumentative? What does that get you? Where does that get you? Jesus wants to live the Christian faith. Jesus wants us to live the Christian way. The old initials that were around several years ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? When we have a problem in our lives, let's think about those letters again. What would Jesus do? If somebody asks for help, would Jesus say, I'm busy, you go do it yourself? If somebody wanted something from us, would we say, no, I can't afford to take care of you and everybody else in my household? There are so many things that we face each day, so many little things, that if we would just pay attention to those four letters, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not react the way some of us do. And Paul already says in his letter that people that do these things will not see the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't say you have to murder to be kicked out of heaven. He doesn't say you have to practice sorcery to be kicked out of heaven or to be barred from heaven. He says all these things are listed in Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia. All these things. And I don't know, I didn't know, I believe it or not, wasn't around when Paul wrote this letter. However, I can't say for sure that he did not list them in the order of importance. Think about that. And then take your bulletin home with you this morning and read through this again and read that list again. Because I know sometimes when I'm sitting in church, my mind wanders and I'll go out for a second and I'll be out there in the yard or watching the wind blow or something like that. So just in case this has happened to you this morning, take your bulletin home. Get your Bible out. Read those things that Paul says will keep you out of heaven. And think about your daily life. Think about this past week. What have you done this past week that is on that list? Think about the things that you've done. We don't want to be kept out of the kingdom of heaven because of some simple little thing that we could just as easily have said something nice to or felt a little bit differently about. But we decided that we were going to be somebody and we were going to show whoever we were interacting with what somebody would do. We don't want to be that kind of somebody. We want to be a member of God's community. We want to be a member of Christ's church. We do not want to be locked out when it comes time to call the roll for heaven. That is not where we want to be standing. So let us come together with humble. Humble, everybody knows the meaning of humble, and contrite hearts. You're sorry for what you have done. You know that there are people around that are a lot higher up on the somebody list than you are. So instead of being somebody, not just with God, but proving ourselves to Him with each other. This is the point, with each other. You would not talk to God that way. Why would you talk to your neighbor or your friend or your husband or wife? I know I get contentious sometimes. Don't say a word. But we have to consider all the people that we deal with and consider, what would Jesus do? What would God say in this instance? What would God want me to say in this instance? We don't have to run the show. We don't have to always be right. We don't have to make our own rules and expect everybody to follow them. We need to be good to each other, offering cooperation and assistance where needed, and showing Christian love and consideration in all of our dealings, whether you know the person or not, whether it's your husband or your wife, whether it's a neighbor, in all our dealings, and especially in God's eyes. We don't have to be somebody. We just need to be Christians for our own sake and for the sake of our church. Amen.